go ahead and get started. You would pray with me. I'll go ahead and open this in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to come together as your people to hear your word, the revelations you have for us, that you have made clear and made known to us through Jesus. And in your word, Lord, would you apply that word to us this morning? Would you open our ears and open our hearts that we may receive what you have? Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you that you provide everything that we could possibly need for life and godliness. And Lord, we look to you now to teach us, Lord, to open your word for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, as you all know, we're just going to continue on in speaking about suffering. I'm going to kind of switch gears again here for the next several weeks, pretty much for the rest of the course. Instead of breaking down, you know, why do we suffer? Why do unbelievers suffer? Why do believers suffer? What is suffering in the scriptures mean? Instead of looking at it more from a didactic standpoint, we're going to look at different pictures of sufferers throughout the scriptures, and what that can teach us, what we can learn from that, what comfort we can gain from that, just to see the picture of suffering, you know, how people suffer well or did suffer well, and you know, maybe some ways that they didn't suffer so well that we can learn from. And that, you know, can just be really helpful to have an illustration for us from the word directly, as opposed to just breaking things down didactically. So this morning we're going to start out by looking at lament psalms, I should say, the Psalms of Lament, and how we can see that the Lord has provided a way to do exactly what he's commanded us to do. If I can remind you of kind of our theme verse that we started out with back at the beginning, and we've kind of touched upon it a couple of times. The whole topic, we are talking about 1 Peter, and looking from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, about suffering and how the Lord has designed it that we can obtain joy in the midst of suffering. And, you know, that seems kind of antithetical to our thinking. And yet, that's why we're going to look at these illustrations as we go through the scriptures. Illustrations of people who did find joy in the midst of their suffering and what we can learn from them. So, as is typical, my handout is more of something that you can take home and refer to as you desire, as you might want to look back on it at other times and still get a feeling for what we talked about and what we were dealing with. So, from the very start, the Lament Psalms, as we go through them, we'll see that they are actually the most common psalm in the Book of Psalms. You know, we in the church pretty typically view the Book of Psalms, as a book of praises, and that is one of the titles that the Jewish rabbis gave it, is that it's a book of praises. But in a numerical fashion, just looking at them, there's actually more lament psalms than any other type of psalms in the book out of the 150 psalms. So that should kind of tell us something right off the bat, that the Lord has provided for his people a way to lament this life and the struggles and the suffering that his people are going to go through. So number one there, one of the ways that we can obtain comfort from the Lament Psalms is that it reminds us that we're never alone in our suffering. This, by giving us inscripturated the Lament Psalms and giving us examples to read and follow, we can just gain comfort in knowing that we're not alone. It's not something that no one else can understand. It's not something that no one else has ever gone through. And that, at times, can be quite comforting to understand that God's people from years gone by have gone through the same things that you might be going through. We see from 2 Corinthians 1 this comfort that we get. You know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. You know, and as part of that, you know, some of the Psalms are communal laments. You know, as we know, the Book of Psalms had different functions throughout its use in the worship of God's people. It, at times, served as instruction. There's some psalms that are psalms of instruction. It served as personal time of worship that could be used, and we use it more so in modern times since we have it in writing, more on a personal level. But, you know, initially the psalms were very much a part of the communal worship of God's people. And so, you know, imagine singing some of the lament psalms. We do. I can't remember which psalm it is right off the top of my head. I should. But that I believe Ron put to music, and that we sing it from time to time. I think it's like 116 or something like that. And it is just a great lament psalm of that we sing together, that we can learn to lament together. Sin in that we experience, the suffering from sin, all the reasons that we've talked about, that we suffer, that other people suffer, and that we can come alongside them. You know, and so the Lord uses these lament psalms in that way, that we can weep with those who weep and comfort one another as we sing them. And number two, you know, some of the comfort that we can derive from lament psalms, it reminds us that there's nothing unusual or sinful in singing songs of lament. There's absolutely nothing, you know, wrong, contrary to maybe the messages that we get from popular sources today within the church, that somehow you're a weaker believer, or somehow you don't have enough faith. Somehow you should be more grateful. You should be more thankful, you know. And the Lord, in his comfort for us, you know, comes alongside us and provides us with lament psalms to say, no, that's not really the situation. I understand. I know that this life can be very difficult and can cause a lot of suffering. And so he's provided that way to allow us to suffer well and to sing psalms of lament well. In that vein, number three, these laments provide a voice for our pain. They not only comfort us, but they instruct us. They give us God-honoring language that we can use. It gives us the kind of the tools and the instruction by which we can learn to lament well, by seeing, well, how did this psalm lament this particular situation, you know, whether it's, you know, there's a lot of lament psalms that have to do with enemies, because, you know, David writing many of them, that was a real problem of, you know, constant battling against enemies. Well, we're told, and we understand that our enemies are not of flesh and blood, you know, but they're spiritual forces and darkness and sin that we battle against in our own lives, both internally and externally. And so these lament psalms can give us language with which to say, you know, Lord, you know, I'm having a really tough time. You know, would you teach me how to suffer well, how to lament my situation. And the Lord gives us that language. He shows us and gives us an example. And so we should take advantage of that. And then lastly, these lament psalms allow us to continue to worship in the midst of suffering. You know, it gives us the language and shows us the direction that we can continue to worship the Lord even despite our lament, despite the suffering that we're going through and feeling. And it shows us how to do that. It gives us the picture of someone who is truly suffering and truly lamenting and yet truly worshiping God in spirit and truth. And so that can be, you know, very comforting and also very instructional for us. So if these are so great, you know, how come we don't sing them? How come I can only think of one that we sing? This could be my memory. Maybe Kim could fill me in on that. Maybe there's a lot more. But why do we not sing them? Why is it that we don't sing lament psalms? It's not a weekly part of our... Here, this is our time of the service where we lament. You know, so we're going to get all the press together. Why do we not do that? Can you think of some reasons?
We don't necessarily come to church to become sad. We need encouragement and we want to be uplifted.
That's a great point, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Sometimes we can get out of balance, you know, in that we can look so much to that, and that can almost become a ritual for us, right? Like, okay, this is my time to get lifted up, you know, and don't talk to me about sin, don't talk to me about problems in my life. I just want to hear positive things and, you know, bless the Lord and isn't he great, and all those things are true, absolutely. And yet, you know, God is so much more real than we are, right? I mean, he's so much more present in whatever situation than sometimes we find ourselves. But that's a great reason. Yeah, Bruce.
There are seasons in which we sing dirges, seasons in which we play flutes.
I'm sorry, my hearing is not what it used to be.
There are appropriate times to sing
dirges. Yes, there are appropriate times. Right, there are. Absolutely. There are appropriate times to sing psalms of lament, and then there are times where it's not so appropriate. So, absolutely, that may be one reason why we don't sing them as often. But, I don't know, I'll just throw this out. Maybe it's more appropriate than we admit, or maybe it's more appropriate to sing them than we actually do, right?
Can you consider a lament worship?
A lament worship?
Coming to a worship service, yep. Is that really part of worship?
Absolutely. And the lament psalms show us how that can be, how we can worship the Lord in the midst of our lament. Now, you know, getting back to what we were talking about before, you know, that all should be in balance, right? I don't think that it would be nearly as edifying for the entire body if that's all we sung, all we sang were lament psalms, or if it was, like I was, you know, making light of before, like it was a routine, okay, this is that point in the service every week where we sing a lament psalm, that may lose its meaning or its significance for us. But yes, there are appropriate times that we can worship the Lord through our lament. Yep, the young man in the back.
I think it's only our whole week is lament, and Sunday's a taste of heaven again to reorient us. And so there's at least one built-in part of lament in the service, which is our time of confession of sin. And I guess in part, I think the American church as a whole is leaning much more to we need to be joyful and happy and perhaps too thinly sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, part of why we sing more joyful songs, but it's also because that's the end of the story. Yep. And that's what really refreshes our heart, even in the week of lament.
Mm-hmm. Yep, excellent point. Any others that you can think of? Yes, Matt.
I wonder if there's a
know, like, you know, if you ask how somebody's doing, they'll just say, oh, I'm good. Like,
right.
You know, we just don't ever want to dig in deep to that culturally. And I think, you know, as much as we don't want that to influence our behavior at church, it probably in some aspect does.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's the same way that, you know, let's, you know, kind of examine ourselves when we, after the service, after we've been lifted up and we've, you know, worshiping the Lord and appropriately and seeing the end result, the joy set before us and the joy that will be ours. And we, you know, fellowship with one another afterwards and, you know, how you doing? Great. Right? Everybody's doing great. Everybody's always great. And it's because that's a part of our human nature, to some extent, that we just don't want to get into it. We don't want to see what is going on in our lives that the Lord can speak to. You know, we do kind of want to put those things behind us sometimes, a little bit more than maybe we should. As I said, I mean, this is all a balance. This is, you know, you can get out of balance in either way. Yes, Joel.
At my previous church, we sometimes sang the hymn, Lord, I Deserve Thy Deepest Wrath. And, you know, it's definitely a lament for our sin.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was a very appropriate, good song for us to sing sometimes. But I always felt like if there were visitors there, I was kind of embarrassed to be singing it. Like, what are they thinking? And I think that the Psalms of Lament, those kinds of songs are just, we can feel self-conscious about them because it's just not a common thing to do.
Yeah, it definitely goes against our nature and goes against our culture and goes against our maybe even our church culture, like I was saying. And that's kind of what I was getting at, is that I think there's a benefit from seeing the benefit of occasionally, when it's appropriate, using what the Lord has given to us as a gift of the Lament Psalm so that we can learn to lament with one another, share one another's burdens, realize the difficulty that some of us are going through, or that even just one of us, you know, is going through. Yes, Bruce.
The idea of lamenting in all things seems to violate rejoicing in all things.
Mm-hmm.
So the tendency that Scripture points us towards is forgetting what's behind it, pressing on to this joy,
right.
This hope that is set before us, the victorious mode, not in a lament mode.
Right. And I would say that is the normative way that we, as you know, Francis was saying, that the kind of the rule or the typical way that we are going to be focused in the worship service is worshiping the Lord and giving Him thanks out of a heart of joy and gladness that we get from Him alone. So yes, absolutely, and I think that is the more typical way that we should think and approach things. You know, but we've experienced as a congregation this past year times where it's more appropriate to lament, you know, and to not turn away from that and to not receive what the Lord has provided for His people in the totality of His care for us, right? And how can singing a psalm of lament actually be an act of faith? How can that display or build into us faith? Yes, Andrew. Right. that all is lost and there's no hope in the world. And but that is important. I mean, one of our daughters, it kind of has come to us a couple of times over the past year with that same kind of a thing, you know, that, I love, you know, the worship music we listen to, and I love the Christian music, and but it's all so positive. She's like, you know, I want something just dark, you know. I'm like, what are you talking about, you know, but I mean, I do understand, you know, music is a very powerful thing, the Psalms, okay, the Psalms were sung, they were chanted, they were, we don't really, you know, none of that has survived, so we don't know exactly how they were used perfectly, but we know enough to know that they were sung corporately, communally, and used in that way. And so there is a benefit to that. And so finding that balance, you know, finding, you know, is there music out there done by, you know, godly people today? I don't know. I'm way too old for all that. But I know some old stuff that's good. But that can be really useful because we all need to learn how to lament well when we're at that point in our life, right? When we're going through a tough time, not turning away from our gracious, you know, Father who wants to walk beside us, who does walk beside his people, who never leaves or forsakes us, even though there may be a time where we're not as aware of his presence, you know. And how do we do that well? And this, that's one of the things that we get from this. But how, getting back to that, how can it be kind of an act of faith to sing a song of lament or to read songs of lament, to kind of, you know, delve into that? How can that be an act of faith? Yep, Joel. Okay, David.
Of tears, the healing power of crying. And I think, like the American culture, the male, this big, no, middle cry, the whole John Wayne persona.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think there's, even though I count the clients, it seems like there's a fear of, if I cry, if I lose my emotion, I'll die.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a death, the fear of death in, mm-hmm. if I lament, if I let the pain out in public, that's a very unnerving.
Yeah, just for everyone's benefit, if you couldn't hear that, David was just saying that, you know, we're afraid to lament sometimes. We're afraid to cry, if that's appropriate, or just to be weak, or just to be, you know, real about our suffering, whether all the different types of suffering that we talked about before, the reasons why we suffer, any of those reasons, that can create fear, you know, that somehow we're just too exposed, we're just too weak, or somehow that we're not having enough faith, or any of those kinds of fears that can go on. I think that being able to lament well, utilizing the Psalms of Lament, seeing the pictures of those that suffer in the Psalms, it can be an act of faith because of that very reason. I think David, you know, kind of hit on it, on that reason, in the sense that putting our trust in the Lord, knowing that, Lord, I am just struggling right now, or I am suffering, and I'm going to tell you about it because I know that you're the only one who can do anything about it. I'm putting my faith and trust in you because that's the right person to go to in those terms. That's the right place to go with those feelings, with that lament. Oftentimes, you know, I don't know about you, my go-to will be to complain. You know, I'd rather complain about it than get on my knees and pour out my heart before the Lord, because that takes faith to say, Lord, I can put all of this before you and trust that you can lead me through this. That I can trust that you know my inward parts and that you can lead me through this well so that I come out on the other end, that's whatever that is, you know, glorifying Jesus and clinging more to Christ instead of just taking things into my own hands and complaining about it and wallowing about it, which the Lord understands. I mean, you read some of the lament psalms that there are times where, you know, the writer of that, he's just kind of complaining and groveling about it, but he's doing it to the Lord is the point, not just to himself. So what can we learn from studying the lament psalms? A couple of things that I have there at the bottom of page one, you know, that it's instructional to see that most every lament psalm is structured similarly. It has two sections. Most all of them, start out with a plea section where the writer of the psalm is just lamenting, just detailing the suffering that he's going through, detailing the pain, detailing what's wrong with my life or in my life right now. And once again, you know, he's pouring all this out to the Lord, and that's the whole point of it. But there's that section. And sometimes that section can be really long. You know, you're just going on and on and on, the incredible detail of the excruciating suffering and pain and lament and, you know, where are you, Lord? What is going on? And that part of that, that section of the psalm, you know, it's desperation. It's oftentimes the writer of the psalm is just saying, you know, no man can help me. There's no help for me. There's no one here for me. And you know, oftentimes he will communicate how much he needs, you know, the Lord. He needs his presence. He needs his power. He needs him to fix things. You know, and how often can we feel that way? I mean, we can certainly relate to that. Sometimes it's burdened with guilt. You know, it's a song of lament about our sins, you know, that we deserve the wrath of God. And the writer understands that and points us to that. And as I mentioned before, oftentimes there's a lot of lament psalms where it's actually just a cry for deliverance from our enemies. You know, and you know, our enemies are all around us. And oftentimes they're within us. Sometimes our biggest cause of lament is our own sinfulness. And that can just be overwhelming if we don't lament well, which is what the Lord is teaching us in these psalms. So that's why every song of lament ends in a praise section. There's this sudden transition, you know, in these lament psalms where maybe he's been going on for stanza after stanza of complaining and suffering, and things are really bad and they're getting worse, and, you know, where are you, Lord? And then there's this break, there's this transition where the writer of the psalm, it doesn't make it clear oftentimes why all of a sudden this change. Sometimes it is really clear, but why this change? In the perspective, that's what it is that the Lord brings a change of perspective. Oftentimes there's no change in circumstance, there's no change in what's going on, but there's a change in perspective that brings the psalmist to praise, to glorify the Lord for who he is and for what he knows by faith will be the end result, you know. I will see the Lord. I will stand in the midst of my enemies. You know, and that's the comfort that the Lord brings. We see this movement with pretty much each lament psalm, and we also see it through the whole course of the book. If you were not aware, kind of the movement of the book of Psalms, you know, if you want to be encouraged and just spend time worshiping the Lord in gladness and thanksgiving, you know, then look at Psalm 145 to 150, you know, because at the end, that's the way the Psalter ends. But the lament psalms, you know, tend to, they start at the very beginning, after Psalm, beginning in Psalm 3, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, there's a lot of suffering, a lot of struggle going on in those psalms. And then it kind of gets peppered in throughout, and then there's a lot of them in the middle of the psalms. I would encourage you, I would have loved to have done it today, and I know it would have just taken too much time, but to go through Psalm 73, right? And I would encourage you, maybe later today, maybe sometime this week, in reflecting on this, just to go through and to read through that psalm. It's pretty long, but it's really a great example of all the things we're talking about just beginning with lament and ending in praise to the Lord. But there's a deeper and really a more meaningful message to these lament psalms, other than just, you know, God comforts us, God walks beside us. Those, I mean, that I'm not making light of that in any way, shape, or form. And that can be exactly what we need at times. But there's actually something much more deeper going on in these lament psalms and in the psalms in general. You know, the Old Testament writers and the New Testament writers, but the Old Testament writers themselves saw David as a prophet. There's numbers of, or several scriptures that display that. 2 Samuel 23, the final words of David as an oracle. Nehemiah 12 refers to David as a man of God. That's a title that's typically reserved for prophets. So they saw David as prophetic in his writing of the Psalms. The New Testament writers as well, Acts 2, where Peter, in his sermon on Pentecost, identifies the prophet David. And Psalm 110 is it's the most quoted psalm in the entire New Testament, and it's a messianic psalm. It's a psalm extolling Jesus as the Messiah. And then I have on your handout there as well, we won't take a whole lot of time going through it, but in Luke 24, we can really see and understand the function of the Psalms, that as part of prophecy and pointing us to Jesus. And the whole point here really is that we should see and understand that the singer of the Psalms is actually Jesus himself. He is the one who sings the Psalms most fully, most completely, and most righteously. So he is the singer of the lament psalms. He is the one who, in his humiliation, can sing all those songs of lament, of his enemies surrounding him, of terror on every side, of being pressed and suffering righteously and lamenting well. And that's really kind of the key to these lament psalms, is seeing Jesus as the singer of these lament psalms. And the movement of the psalms, the lament psalms, from beginning with a plea and lamenting and ending in praise, Jesus lived out. This was his life. This was his life of humiliation and suffering. And yet, for the joy set before him, endured the cross on our behalf and was, you know, raised to new life and now seated at the right hand of God the Father. It's from a movement of suffering to glory. And getting back to what we were talking about earlier, that's why we get together and worship the Lord with thanksgiving, with psalms of thanksgiving and praise and gladness in our hearts, because you know, that's where we're headed. That same movement is displayed in our lives. That movement of suffering now, suffering for along with Christ, and yet the glory set before us. That that will be ours when we see him face to face. And so that should not only comfort us, but give meaning to what's going on when we delve into these lament psalms. This is the Lord walking beside us, instructing us, showing us. He, by his very life, he lived the lament psalms. And so we too can enter into them when it's, you know, when it's appropriate, obviously, you know, when we're at that point in our lives and we're ready to sing Psalm 150, sing Psalm 150 and praise the Lord. But when we're in those times of lament, to see that Christ is there with us, that he has been there and he will be there with us. So just some points at the bottom there just to kind of drive that home. Jesus is the true singer of the Psalms. You know, they're not just Psalms of individual Israelites or the nation of Israel or even David himself, but these are Psalms of Christ himself. Yes, John?
I got a question.
Yeah.
Do you know if they would have memorized the Psalms back in the day?
Yes. That's why when Christ... would on the cross and he's quoting from Psalm 22, everyone around knew what he was doing, where he was quoting from, and the significance of that. Now, in the hardness of their hearts, you know, that most, if not all, didn't fully understand or comprehend or repent and see what's going on. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm much more, cause sometimes they seem a little inaccessible, like, unless you're in that particular
right.
season.
Yeah, I would agree.
Wow, you know, there's a lot going on there, but you don't really see a lot of it. And maybe if you memorized it, you would start to get a little more out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, we can... because of the difference in culture, the difference in time, the difference in cultures, we can sometimes lose the beauty of what is being said in the, you know, since we're talking about the Lament Psalms, it can seem a little inaccessible to us. But I think that if we, that's the benefit of reading. That's why we read Scripture as a, together, right? That's why we read Scripture as a church. We study together so that the collective understanding and insight of the Lord benefits us all. You know, it's a wonderful gift that the Lord has given his church that we all, you know, have his word and can read his word, but we're not left to just me and my Bible, right? And, you know, God forbid, that would be a really scary place, and it is all too often. So, yes, I mean, memorizing them and understanding them and singing the psalms together when appropriate, and studying them together to kind of unlock what's going on here for us. Just the last bit here, kind of the threefold interpretation of the psalms that I'm just highlighting here. They're the words of the ancient poets. Again, communicating laments and the God that is their hope. So that's one way, you know, to understand the Psalms. They're the words of Christ as he suffered and died for his people, as we were just talking about. And they are our words as well, united to Christ, that we, and as we participate and share in the sufferings of Christ, as we've been talking about throughout the course, 1 Peter 4, verse 13, as we share in the sufferings of Christ, these become our words. And so we, you know, should utilize them when appropriate, study them, derive comfort from them, sing them, you know, when appropriate. You know, not the Lord gives us all parts of his word for different reasons, but we should see in particular, in discussing suffering, the usefulness of the Lament Psalms as Jesus is the singer of them And Jesus, you know, not only walks beside us, with us, singing the songs of lament, but to see how it glorified the Father in his progression through that. Yeah, Joel.
To me, I can relate to seeing, you know, sort of hearing Jesus' voice and, you know, my enemies are surrounding me and so on, but nevertheless, I trust in God. How do we hear Jesus' voice in, like, Psalm 51, against you, and you only have I sinned and done what is wicked in your sight? In sin did my mother conceive me. I was brought forth in iniquity. Where's Jesus' voice in that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think that we would, obviously, that can go kind of wonky if you were to interpret it in that manner, since we know that Jesus was not conceived in sin. But we can see how the Lord speaks to us through those psalms and brings to our hearts the need for him and points us to Christ as the only hope for singing that psalm well and ending well and bringing it to him and pointing us to that that culmination that we were talking about before. So, yeah, I wouldn't woodenly apply, and maybe I made it sound that way. I certainly didn't mean to, but I wouldn't woodenly apply the idea that Christ sings each and every line of each and every psalm. But certainly they all point us to him. They certainly point us to the exalted Christ now, but even the humiliated Christ when he was here on this earth. Any other questions? That's a really good point, Joel. That's really good. Okay, well, very good. Well, we're going to continue on now. Next week, we're going to continue just looking at different pictures, illustrations throughout the scripture of people who suffered and how they suffered and how they suffered well and what we can learn from them and the comfort that that brings us and how that points us to the glory that awaits us. So that's what we will pick up with next week.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm.
I I told him, you got to. You're at the age now, you got to think before you jump now.
Let's not make him feel bad. I've made
all of us do. And we don't do it again.
No,
wait a minute, I can lose my job?
Do
no.
It. You do it again. It's unfortunate. Why did you, Seth, why did you allow this?
I didn't.
Why did you allow this?
I didn't do anything. I will not take crap for this. Accountability.
It was Joe's fault. Oh, was it Joe's fault? So I should go after
it. It was God's fault. Listen, Matt, I was the victim.
You stole.
I was the victim.
How is he spinning it this way?
Two people jumped over.
I'd rather be sick.
Two people jumped over.
It really hurt my shoulders. I mean, did they like lay on your shoulders?
No, they just pushed up off my shoulders.
Oh, they pushed off.
Thank you for serving in worship this morning.
Oh, no, there's a purpose. You can make him get stuff for you.
I'll trade you every other day. Not